Coming up on KUCB News, Raven Alaska says it could resume scheduled flights between Anchorage and Unalaska in 2 weeks. And the federal government is investing millions of dollars to bring high-speed internet to communities across coastal Alaska. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Wednesday, October 14th, 2020. Raven Alaska says it could resume scheduled flights between Anchorage and Unalaska in 2 weeks, but there's at least one hurdle left to overcome. KUCB's Hope McKenney reports from the tarmac.
Visibility is 10 with light rain. You're sailing 4,000 broken. Overcast 6,000 now. Temperature 7, dew point 1, altimeter 29 or 38. Good to hear you back on the radio.
Great to be the team, ma'am.
On Friday, for the first time since Raven Air Group filed for bankruptcy earlier this year, a de Havilland Dash 8 airplane landed on Tom Madsen Airport's short runway. The appearance of a Raven-branded aircraft could be a sign that regular commercial flights between Anchorage and Unalaska are on the horizon. Aboard the aircraft was a 9-person delegation of Raven executives and FAA officials. Rob McKinney, CEO of Raven Alaska, was among them. He leads the company that bought Raven Air Group's core assets in the wake of its sudden bankruptcy.
We've invited the Federal Aviation Administration to fly with us out here to Unalaska, to, you know, probably one of our more challenging destinations, to make sure that they're comfortable and happy and can see that we are offering a safe service to the flying public.
It was a dry run to test the Aleutian route before giving the embattled airline the go-ahead to resume scheduled air service. McKinney says he originally hoped to relaunch operations in mid-August, but due to a number of hurdles getting FAA and DOT approvals in place, the airline shifted the timeline to mid-September and eventually continued pushing the relaunch back. But this week, the FAA granted permission for the airline to finally begin flying charter flights, and the DOT issued what's called a show cause order, which opens a 14-day window for anyone to show cause for the DOT not to find the air carrier fit, willing, and able to provide scheduled air service. The FAA declined a request for comment. While regulators take public input during the two-week window, McKinney says larger companies will be welcome to charter the 37-seat Dash 8 aircraft round-trip from Anchorage to Unalaska.
So we'll be able to at least hopefully start moving fishermen out here and get prepped for the next season coming. So that's something. It's not all that we'd hoped for, but it's at least a little bit of service to get the community back connected.
McKinney says Raven has planes and flight crews ready to go, and the airline could start serving places like Unalaska in just 2 weeks if no formal objections are lodged during the 14-day window. The airline hasn't published ticket prices. McKinney says Raven is working to code share with Alaska Airlines to allow customers to purchase tickets through Alaska Airlines' mileage program.
I talk with Alaska Airlines about every week, and they're eager to start working with us, but they're to make sure that safety is what it needs to be. So they're going to come in and do their own audit of everything that we do, fly on our flights, and then when they're ready, they will give us the blessing. But they've said it's their intention in the future that they going to repartner with Raven.
McKinney says the initial plan is to fly Dash 8 planes between Anchorage and Unalaska. Eventually, he says they hope to use larger aircraft, but he ruled out deploying a Saab 2000, the model involved in a fatal plane crash that killed one passenger and injured more than a dozen others on Unalaska's runway last year. Reporting in Unalaska, I'm Hope McKinney.
The federal government says it's investing nearly $50 million to bring high-speed internet to communities across coastal Alaska. That's expected to improve internet speeds in the Aleutians and parts of southeast Alaska. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue made the announcement Tuesday. He says he understands Alaskans are isolated by geography.
When we get this high-speed broadband gigabit speed there, you're going to be as connected as anyone on the mainland here in that regards.
About half of the money, $25 million, is going to GCI to build about 800 miles of undersea fiber cable, stretching from Kodiak Island along the Alaska Peninsula and the Aleutian Chain. GCI is also spending $33 million of its own capital to complete the connection in 2022. USDA's Rural Utilities Administrator Chad Roop says the Trump administration recognizes the strategic importance of Dutch Harbor, one of the nation's largest fishing ports.
This port is one of our nation's westernmost and northernmost natural deep water ports. So this connectivity along the Aleutian Chain is especially important, not just for our rural economies, but just by sheer geography to support our national defense.
GCI Chief Operating Officer Greg Chapatos says once the fiber optic line is completed, speeds for those living in remote communities should be comparable to Alaska's urban areas.
The digital divide between Unalaska and Anchorage will be eliminated.
Separately, Alaska Power and Telephone has been awarded $21.5 million to build an undersea fiber optic cable in southeast Alaska. It would run from Juneau's Lena Point, down the Wrangell Narrows, and link communities on Prince of Wales Island. AP&T is committing just over $7 million to the project. CEO Mike Garrett says it'll take about 5 years to build.
The submerged fiber between Juneau, landing in Petersburg, and then on to Prince of Wales Island will be 214 miles long, and it's easy to compare this to a superhighway.
After 2025, the service will be extended from Kasan and Kaufman Cove to other communities on Prince of Wales, the company says. The $46.5 million in Alaska grants are part of $600 million approved by Congress in 2018 for the Federal ReConnect program to improve internet connectivity across rural America. Alaska's congressional delegation was on the Tuesday call. Nobody from the federal government or telecom companies fielded any questions from reporters invited to record the announcement. Meanwhile, the Aleutian Arts Council is hosting a paint-and-seek rock-a-lantern event in an effort to help kids and families celebrate Halloween while still observing social distancing mandates. Arts Council President Linda Liebeck-Robinson says the council will be providing orange rocks to participants, and the event will work like this.
You pick up a rock, you paint it any way you'd like, but keep the main color orange because we want to be able to spot it, put it in the window, and from October 15 to October 31st, you start counting the rocks that you see.
Liebeck-Robinson says participants can put their rocks anywhere they'd like. But the point is to get people to spot them easily, so she suggests places like windows or gardens. During the event, participants are asked to write down where they see the rocks, take pictures of them, and then send the images and locations via email or through Facebook to the Aleutian Arts Council. The person who finds the most rock-o-lanterns will be awarded a prize. And Liebeck-Robinson also asks that participants take note of any exceptional rock-o-lanterns and submit those to the council as well. She says the person who receives the most mentions for their rock-o-lantern will also receive a prize at the end of the event. Many of the nonprofit's events, such as the Fall Coffee House or the Community Art Show, have gone completely virtual this year, or even canceled due to the pandemic. While Liebeck-Robinson says she hopes that this event will still give community members a chance to come together, she says it won't look quite the same as past fall events.
Halloween is going to be a little bit quieter than we're accustomed to, and I know that the kids always enjoy the community connection and the festivities at Halloween, but unfortunately, because of social distancing, it's just not going to be the way it always is.
Starting tomorrow, orange rocks will be available at Safeway and Alaska Ship Supply for free for any community members who want to participate. Liebeck-Robinson encourages community members and families to paint as many rocks as they'd like. She says if anyone has questions, they are encouraged to reach out on Facebook or via email at AleutianArtsCouncil@gmail.com. In honor of Indigenous Peoples Day, which took place on Monday, admission to Unalaska's Museum of the Aleutians will be free to the public today through Saturday. Museum Director Ginny Hatfield says the museum will also be celebrating the holiday through a social media campaign in an effort to decolonize the nation's history. Museum staff plan to use the campaign as a platform to speak with Indigenous people in the region and Unangak community members. Indigenous Peoples Day was first proposed in the 1970s to replace Columbus Day as a means to honor Native and Indigenous communities whose histories run deep, at least 15,000 years, says Hatfield, and locally, in the Aleutians, about 9,000 years. And while the holiday falls on the same day as Columbus Day, and some institutions choose to recognize both, she says the museum is only recognizing Indigenous Peoples Day.
Even though Christopher Columbus may have been, you know, an important person in European history, and I would say he is, he also brought consequences to the Americas that were very dire. And so we want to recognize Native Americans at this juncture instead of colonizers.
Hatfield recognizes that she is not Native American, and the museum sits on Unangah land that was never ceded to her or the institution. And she says that it is part of hers and the museum's job to be grateful and to honor the communities whose land they stand on. Hatfield says Unalaska has a complex history and is made up of a quilt of cultures, and it is part of the museum's job to reach out to all of those communities.
And talk about our shared humanity and talk about and particularly bring to the forefront the history of the Unangan culture, because we are here, we are on their land. Their history is a long one, and it's been overshadowed a great degree.
Hatfield invites the community to come celebrate Indigenous communities this week at the museum. While COVID-19 health regulations are still in place, which limit capacity and require social distancing, she says people are welcome to call 581-5150 or email museumofthealeutians@gmail.com to schedule a visit. And this week, in recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day, KUCB is also playing a four-part documentary called Definition of Resilience, a series highlighting the dynamic stories of Native American hip-hop and its contribution to modern music. Each episode follows two artists who share their story and Indigenous history. Yesterday, we played part two, and today we are airing part three of the series. That's up next. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.